Good afternoon. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yesterday, when we were talking a little bit about just God's invitation to us in prayer to reimagine the world with him, just to see the world restored and redeemed from his perspective, which is what he came to do. And one of the verses I read was from Revelation chapter 4, which is the most fascinating scripture to me of all in reference to prayer. Whenever I teach on prayer, if I do a conference on prayer, just recently in Wilmington, North Carolina, that's Revelation is the place where I go to the most, and that chapter 4 is the place. So let me just read this to you again. This is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. And it starts off with after these things, but it can also be translated in the midst of these things. And I think that's a better translation. Because in the midst of the chaos of fallen humanity, and John's being given this insight into the last days when the chaos gets worse than ever before. And so in the midst of the chaos that John sees around him, it says, I looked and behold the door standing open in heaven, always open. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the midst of these things. And that's such a fascinating scripture to me. Again, John is 93 years old, and he's from the moment in his 30s when he's laid his head on the breast of Christ, he had this deep passion for the presence of the Lord. He's referred to as the disciple whom Jesus was always loving. History refers to him as the beloved disciple. And I think he and Mary Magdalene or Mary Bethany had great insight, unique to the heart of Christ, the heart of God and love of God. And John wrote more about the love of God than anybody else. And he has this experience again, and I believe this was a common experience of him for him. Not necessarily the things that he saw in this particular vision, but I believe his understanding of being with the Lord, being in the presence of the Lord, was very common, that there was a door constantly standing open. He was always invited up here. Heaven. So when I was talking about this yesterday, I just got pumped about prayer again, so I just wanted to speak a little bit about prayer and restore the joy of prayer. It's the most exciting thing a human being can ever do, to be in the presence of the Lord, behold his beauty, like David said, inquire of his beauty, just his glory. And John hears this voice that invites him to come up. And prayer always happens in heaven. I get tickled with us charismatics because I've been in services before where people invite you into this heavenly experience and you got to go through all these gyrations, spiritual gyrations, and picture yourself in heaven. And I understand that's a good thing. And I know people who talk about third heaven encounters and they write books about them. People get their tapes. And I understand that too. But the truth is, every time you pray, you are in heaven. It's a heavenly encounter. It's an invitation to come up here. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 8, it says, at John's praying, this chapter about prayer, so amazing, the heavens are silent for 30 minutes. The Lord says that your voice is sweet to him and your presence is lovely to him. The word lovely there literally could be my favorite place. The Lord says your presence is his favorite place. And your voice is sweet to him. And so we love to hear the voice of the Lord. His presence is so powerful to us, but we don't understand often how much he values you. You are his masterpiece. You're the object of his great love. And when we approach him in prayer, it's like all of heaven silent to hear what James has to say. And so he's invited to come up here, and the Lord says, I want to show you in the midst of all this stuff that's going on what must take place. And like we said yesterday, one of the coolest parts of prayer, there's all kinds of cool things in prayer, but one of the coolest parts of prayer is I get to sit with him and reimagine together with him the world. To look at the chaos and get his perspective, dream with him about what must take place, what normal in the kingdom looks like as opposed to what's going on. It's an amazing thing. It fills your heart with and faith to go out and proclaim, bear witness of what you've seen and heard in the reimagining with God, and to see it manifested come to pass. But here's a couple of cool things. I don't know why I plugged in on this morning. I just got pumped about it, and I thought, well, I'd rather share something with you I'm excited about than bored with, right? And so he says this. Here's one of the consequences of being alone with the Lord. Immediately, I was in the Spirit. You want consistency, sustainability to your spiritual life? It happens at the footstool, beholding his beauty. And behold, there was a throne standing in heaven and one sitting on the throne. And these are just some things that are so cool. And he says, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone. Now understand what he says here, these images. He who was sitting had the appearance of a jasper stone and sardius in appearance. Now, we, of course, don't have time to like look at all this. Let's just give you a little snippet just to excite your heart a little bit. These stones, these colors, jasper is sort of a translucent. It's really sometimes in Scripture is referred to as diamonds. In Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the New Jerusalem like a jasper stone, brilliant in glory. So it's transparent. It's like a diamond. It shines. And then sardius is dark red. And we know that God's a person. Sometimes we forget he's a person. He thinks, he wills, he feels. He's divine and he's deity, but he's still a person. Our very description of Trinity is a one God in three persons. And he feels. Can you imagine what the feelings of God are like? And I believe these pictures are descriptions of his feelings. The jasper is the stone that was on the breastplate. It was the last stone. And it was the stone on the breastplate of the high priest. And it had the name Benjamin written on it, like the tribe of Benjamin, who was the 13th child, the 12th son, but the 13th child of Jacob. And Benjamin was the last child born, and he was the second child born to Rachel, the one that Jacob loved so much. And she died giving birth to him. And in giving birth to him, because she was dying, she named him Benoni, which means son of my sorrows. But immediately, Jacob changes that and calls him son of my presence. They're like this transformation, there's this change. And I believe that what John saw, which is true, is that our invitation into his presence, he's like this stone of Benjamin. The diamond speaks of his glory, his beauty. Again, David said, this is the one thing I shall continue to seek, that I've asked all my life, that I'll continue to seek, that I'll dwell in the house of the Lord, dwell in his presence all the days of my life, and behold his beauty and inquire of him. And the glory of the Lord is his beauty. And I believe what John saw was the feelings of God emanating was, you're invited into my presence. The blessing of Benjamin, again, in Deuteronomy 33 that Moses gave the tribe is that you would live your life as the beloved dwelling between his shoulders. Now, that meant a lot to John because his life was transformed when he laid his head between the shoulders of Jesus. And the invitation to come and to live your life, to spend your time between his shoulders and to be changed, transformed from son of my sorrow, child of sorrow, to child of presence. And the sardius was a dark red. And I think the feeling, the encounter there, the feeling is that God's a God of passion. There's nothing benevolent or passive about God's love for you and me. He's wholehearted. And his love for us is extraordinary, passionate, and fierce in a wonderful way. The Song of Solomon 8 says it's like a vehement flame. Waters can't quench it. Nothing you can do to make him stop. And later he talks about this bow like a rainbow, but it's a circle. It's like emerald. And we know that rainbows are about covenant, about just commitment, faithfulness. And green, the emerald color, is about never ending. And what John sees is he's been invited. He sees the presence of the Lord, and he sees one who invites him into his presence and will be transformed by his beauty as we behold his presence in prayer, who loves him fiercely and will never stop, period. That's somebody you want to hang out with, right? And then I love this. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the throne I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garment and golden crowns in their head, and from the throne proceeds flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, and the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. He saw the Lord's personality. He talks about this again in Revelation 8, other places in Scripture. In your presence, God's personality is aroused. It talks about that in Zechariah 3. It's like he comes, he's so fully alive, but it's like there's this thing in him that comes so fully alive, like lightning and thunder and sounds at your presence. You see, God is love. Trinity lives in this consistent, continual love thing. You were created out of love. You were created for love. God didn't need to create you for love. The Trinity lives in fellowship, has always experienced fellowship and love. That's just, they enjoy each other. They admire each other. They're passionate. But he just wanted to. He wanted to love someone else, something else. And he created us for that. And so in his presence, God's personality just comes alive in a remarkable way, aroused again, lightning, thunder. Amazing sounds. And there also in prayer, there's the Holy Spirit's also there with us. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 3, in verse 11, he says, we're bearing witness of what we've seen. He and the Father, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, they wondered together. Of what humanity, what redemption could accomplish. They dream together. And in prayer, the Holy Spirit standing there burning before the throne. There's nothing boring about it. Like I've said 1,000 times, why do they call it quiet time? I'd hate to meet the person who called it quiet time. Didn't know much about prayer. It's the craziest, most alive, most exciting, most extraordinary thing. God's heart burning like sardius. His glory inviting us in. Not moving it. One of the things I loved about the sardius, this red thing, is the stone of Reuben. Reuben was the first child born to Leah. It was Jacob's firstborn. And the word Reuben means, see, he loves me. Isn't that awesome? And then there's that whole personality thing, and then the Holy Spirit's just there burning before God, inviting us into that kind of reality. That's just a glimpse of prayer. So if prayer has never been fun to you, it's because you don't know about prayer. Or you've read the wrong books, right? Read that book. John was 93 years old. He was wired about prayer. Amen. I don't know if that helped you any or not, but I needed to talk about it. Okay, I was going to explain. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.